Blog Talk Radio.
Blessings, family. Welcome to the Order of My Eye Radio. This is your host, Seek Wisdom. We are also simulcasting on Black Womaniverse Radio, which is also on Blog Talk. So if you are on the Black Womaniverse page, please come over to the Order of My Eye on Blog Talk Radio so that you can chat with the rest of the family. How is everyone doing tonight? Brother Amaru, how you doing?
Oh, I be just fine. Peace to the gods and goddesses. What it do, what it do.
Peace, peace, peace. All right, well, you know how we do. Know how we do. We pay honor and reverence to our ancestors, so let's go ahead and get that kicked off tonight. I'm going to kick it off and start it off with Queen Nzinga.
Mayat.
Mayat.
John Henry Clark.
My God. Dr. Betty Shabazz.
My God.
Ashe.
Fannie Lou Hamer.
Ashe.
My God.
Dr. Asa Hilliard.
My God.
My God.
Ishaka Musa Barashango.
Brother Malcolm X.
My God. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
My God. Elijah Muhammad.
My God. My God. Noble Jabra Ali.
My God. Ida B. Wells.
My God. My God.
Drusilla Dungy Houston.
My God.
Coretta Scott
Marcus
King.
Marcus Messiah Garvey.
My yacht.
Nat Turner.
Oh, my yacht, the brother Nat Turner.
My yacht. George Washington Carver.
My yacht. Dr. Adams and Thurtema.
My yacht. Dr. Khalid Muhammad.
My yacht.
Brother Dale Jones.
My yacht. Sheikh Ansa Diop.
My yacht.
For those ancestors we've mentioned and those we have not, we say Ashe and my yacht.
My yacht.
All right. All right, Brother Marlo.
Our African proverb for today is going to be the same as last week because we still carrying on the conversation from last week. So it is know thyself. If you know yourself, you know the universe. But if you don't know yourself, it's going to be very hard to understand and know anything else. So I stick with know thyself.
All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and bring our guest on for tonight, Brother Kasivi and Sister Latoya, and we will continue our discussion from last week.
Hey, how's it going?
How you doing, brother?
Peace.
Yeah, I'm doing good.
And sister, how you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
Great.
Peace, queen. Peace.
All right, wow. We covered a lot of information last week, a lot of information. And it seemed as though we wanted to go ahead and discuss one of the movies that have recently come out and seems to be number one, making all of this money. So I guess we can start there with the movie Avatar. I put the link out last week. Hopefully everyone has gotten a chance to go watch the movie. So I know everyone on the phone has watched the movie. So what is everyone's take on the movie Avatar? I guess we can start off with Brother Kasivi or Sister Latoya.
Well, one of the things I noticed, which is similar in Avatar and similar in The Matrix, they have a TV show called Dollhouse, where it's like it's a command center where the original host or the reference point host is in one location, then he or she is projected out to another form of matter, like in The Matrix, is there in Zion, and then they're projected out into the Matrix, which is the physical. And you get that aspect of that in Avatar, where there's a command center or some type of command module, and then they project themselves out into, and they animate one of the Avatar bodies. And that is a correspondence to what we can do psychically, clairvoyantly, multidimensionally through meditation and basically through just traveling through different dimensions. I know a lot of women, particularly Goddess Latoya, she has a lot of experience at that, where you can be in one location and then you can project yourself out to not just different places on this planet, but all, you know, in multi-dimensions throughout the universe. That was one key, and then I know, and obviously, you know, their connection with nature, you know, their connection with the animals, and you know how it's like the Force in Star Wars, similar in Avatar, everything is connected, you know, and everything is in steps and is in a certain amount of a sequence. In order to go from one, in other words, you can't go to step 10. You got to, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Like she told him, you're not ready to converse with the animals. So a lot of parallels just on the basic energy with Avatar as it relates to being connected to the atmosphere.
Yes. Sister Latoya, did you have anything else to add to that?
As far as the Avatar movie?
Yes.
Well, know thyself.
Definitely.
Part of what we need to start doing, along with our spiritual enlightenment, we need to start learning about genetics, start learning about biology, start learning our table of elements, really study the elements. We need to start studying our history and our timeline. Those same birds that they flew on in the movie, there's a mountain over between Russia and Alaska. It's a mountain, but it's out like in the ocean, like out on the water. And the birds go there every year. They flock there every year to mate. And the birds clutch the side of this big, huge rock mountain that's out there in the middle of the water, much like the birds did in the movie Avatar. We need to understand that birds, the present-day birds that we see, were once, you know, dinosaurs and still are called dinosaurs. So we need to look at that as a reference point. As far as the floating rock that was in the movie, we have many of those areas geographically here on Earth. You know, so I picked up on that, but a lot of times people, they don't even think about stuff like that. They don't see the significance of it. But if we knew about creation and we knew about evolution and the slow, steady process of evolution, it makes perfect sense. I spoke last week continuously about being able to count. And I don't know whether people went and did the exercise that I told them to do. But that's what we need to do. We need to learn how to count. Part of dealing with chemistry and biology and geology and anatomy is dealing with counting. If we learn how to count and learn how far back in the past we can go and project as far out of in our future, we'll learn that it's one big circle. They say there's nothing new under the sun. There was a movie that I saw called The Time Machine. That's another good one for everyone to go get, The Time Machine. Rent it from Blockbuster or Hollywood Video, wherever you can get it at. In that movie, he went 800,000 years ahead into the future. And there was a being up under the ground. It couldn't live out on the surface of the earth. It had to live in the cave. And he told him, he said, "Who are you to question 800,000 years of evolution?"
Is that The Time Machine?
The Time Machine. Mm-hmm.
Is that 2000, the one that came out in 2002?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And he told him, who are you to question 800,000 years of evolution? That was all I had to hear. I didn't even need to see the rest of the movie. That was all I had to hear. That was it for me. Because first of all, here it is. This man come from the early 1800s, the late 1800s. But either way, he built this time machine and was able to travel backwards and forward in time. And then the man that had all the data, all the stored data, was a black man in the movie, even though he was a hologram, and that's significant in itself. But he stored all the knowledge. 800,000 years later, he still had all the knowledge. So,
interesting.
It's a lot of points on that movie. the genetically made beings that were on there, the genetically modified humans that was half animal, half human, pumped up with all kind of steroids, their noses, they didn't use their noses. Their faces look much like the Sphinx. The Sphinx, when you look at it mathematically, is a unfinished, the head of it is an unfinished pyramid. We know what that means. You know, we don't realize the great scientists that we once were, but maybe our science is what got us in trouble.
That's very
maybe
possible.
Just the fact that we knew that we could create and we knew that we could do genetic engineering, maybe that did our undoing. You know, maybe we just connected with the universe and just kept it that way, but we just had to go a step further. But in order to get back to some correction, we need to learn some things. The top of the list need to be mathematics. After that, we need to learn some science. We need to learn about these elements. Your body has so many different elements in it. Most people don't study and don't know nothing about it. That's the key right there. We could change things within ourselves spiritually and physically. But we need to start with, we're going to do it on a physical level. Start with calculation. Because you came here for a reason. You're here in the physical flesh, so you assigned yourself here for a reason. It's something that you came here to get some rehab from. Earth is like a rehab. You come here to try to get some things straightened out. The things that's in your system that you need to get tightened up on, you come here to get it tightened up. You don't get it right in this life, you're going to come back here again and reincarnate again till you can get it right. And that's what it's all about. We was created for that purpose and for that reason. Why else come? And I'm not talking about the ones that was created for slavery. I'm talking about the actual gods that came here and decided to divide themselves. And that is, you know, kind of coincidental, the things that took place in the movie Avatar, because it partly deals with that. It really does deal with that. For a person to be a archer, she was really good with that bow and arrow.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man, was she?
you have to you know, it's almost like it takes mathematics to be that good. It takes calculation to be that good. You'll be calculating and don't even realize it. They show LeBron James through a football into a basketball hoop from all the way across the end of the in the gym. He was all the way at the end of the floor. He threw that football and that football went right into the hoop. Swoosh. Probably didn't even touch the side. Just swoosh. He was able to do that because his brain is working so fast that it can calculate the distance, the actual angle he needs to shoot it at, the curve, the wind velocity, air velocity, the weight of the ball, the thrust. All of that is dealing with calculation and mathematics. And here it is, you got these young brothers and sisters out here on the basketball court thinking they just can play ball. Geniuses and don't even know it. You put them in an aircraft that operates off of mind control like out of Avatars with
put their braid into the animal and fly that animal. Trying to tell y'all, calculation, mathematics, we are full of it and don't even realize it. But once we begin to learn it, it will ignite something within us. Once we begin to read the periodical tables and read the elements fully and take the time and do it, it will ignite something in us. You know, we could sit up and watch soap operas and watch the BET Awards and all this other nonsense come on TV. We could sit and dig into some chemistry and dig into some mathematics. That way in the time of trouble, we can calculate our own selves up out of it.
Yeah, I wanted to, we had a spirited call last night. Did y'all hear, I'm assuming that this wasn't a topic on black radio across the country today. Did y'all hear that they have a soft drink? And it was very casually said. It's next to the popcorn, next to some candy. It's a soft drink with melatonin in it.
What?
This came on the news last night. In Detroit, it came on the news.
Oh, my God.
And not only that, a couple of weeks ago, this was on CNN, prime time, 6 o'clock.
A drink and a chewing gum.
What?
2 weeks ago, they said they put melatonin in baby formula for 40 babies. It was on CNN at a daycare.
Oh, my.
Did y'all hear about this?
No, I haven't heard about that.
Now, this is we have to think about this for a minute.
That's where science comes in at. That's where knowing thyself comes in at.
But the question here is, where are they getting this melatonin to put into baby formula and put into a soft drink?
It comes from us.
Got to be getting it from us.
But the question is, do you know how many millions upon millions upon millions of black people did they have to get this from?
Mm-hmm.
To the point where, like
shortage, because they keep us in the death care system, so they have no shortage of bodies.
For sure.
That should be a number one topic of conversation today on the black radio. On the different outlets.
That's interesting.
Wow, I haven't heard of
that. I mean, it's genocidal. It's a genocidal topic.
Know thyself. If more of us knew thyself, then we would know where they were getting it from. And more of us would be on the radio and everywhere else talking about it, raising hell. But because we don't even know our internal organs, we don't even know what our skin is made of, the fibers that our lungs are made out of, the liver, the tissues of the body, the fingernails, the toenails, the bone structure, the marrow, the joints. We don't even know about the human anatomy.
Here's my question.
We don't know about our own anatomy. We don't know during the day when they're talking about they're going to turn melatonin into a drink. They got us so stupid, we don't even know. They drinking us.
If we go raise hell to go down to Juno for getting hung a few years ago in Louisiana. We need to be raised uproar and raising hell about this. I want the listeners to think about this.
They're getting it from cows.
They need to explain how many cows it takes to create 1 milligram.
Right.
And have
right.
them, I don't know, maybe they've expanded on their explanation. That was their explanation a couple of years ago.
Right, but how many black babies go missing and how many black people are killed on a daily basis?
Well, this thing has been happening for so long.
Yeah.
I mean, you remember the stuff in Rwanda?
How many black aborted fetuses are they using to get their melatonin out of? Yeah,
that's exactly where they're getting it from.
And this thing goes all the way back to World War II.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the ethnic cleansing, Stalin and killing the black Russians? Remember that? Mm-hmm. When Stalin was ethnic cleansing, it was a lot of it left over Moors. Remember the gypsies in the concentration camps? Gypsies is short for Egyptian.
Right.
Remember? Then you get your Atlanta Child Murders. You got the projects in the last 20, 30 years. If you notice, anybody is on this call across the country, I want you to think about the projects in your city. Think about the projects in your city and ask yourself how many of them are right next to or right up under right next to a railroad track. About 70 to 80% of these projects are right near a railroad track.
Yep, all of them, and most of them are.
There's a project in Detroit, Michigan called the Herman Gardens. The people that live in Detroit, it's on it's on South Rio Freeway in Joy. This project goes, it's about three quarters of a mile in diameter. It's a huge area. It's almost a whole mile in diameter. And I remember specifically I had an African friend. He had some car problems that week, so I would have to get on the freeway and come up at Joy Road and go to Greenfield, which is a mile going east, to take. I took him to work one day, then I came to get him 2 days later. So I take him to work, and I noticed the project. It's a typical project community. You know, you got prostitutes, you got drug dealers, you got 2-year-old babies, you know, running around with no parental supervision. You know, you got the loud rap music, the whole nine. It's a typical project environment. And that was, that was in the morning. It was a day later. I came back, but it was in the afternoon, late in the afternoon, and it looked like a hurricane had swept through the project. I mean, all the windows was busted out. There was the diapers and stuff was all on the ground, bras and stuff was on the ground. It wasn't nobody living in this area. It was like a hurricane came through, but the surrounding area was just fine. And then after that, it was 2 days later. I come back. It was completely clean. It had barbed wire, property of the U.S. government, barbed wire, and it was completely clean. Now, this is the question I'm saying. Now, if everybody had an eviction notice and they had to move, they go turn the projects into condominiums or something, if you go have an entire three-quarters of a mile in diameter neighborhood, if everybody's going to leave the night before, it seemed to me you would have seen U-Haul trucks to the eye can't see, pickup trucks to the eye can't see. You understand what I'm saying? And then all of a sudden, the next day, later in the day, everybody going in. 2 days later, it's all cleaned up. Where did the people go? I didn't see nobody with no U-Haul truck, no Ryder truck. Where did the people go? See what I'm saying? So we talk about getting the melatonin from Africa, getting the melatonin from ethnic cleansing. Hell, they've been getting it right here in America.
Exactly.
And the thing is this here. On one hand, we understand diplomacy. We understand that we're supposed to do things in a diplomatic fashion. We understand that you can't impose your will. You have to look at both sides, irregardless of the situation, within reason. But they come on the news on CNN 2 weeks ago and announced melatonin and baby formula. They come on the news in Detroit yesterday. This is a brother that pointed this out on the call last night. They come on the news and say melatonin in a soft drink. But, I mean, we know they've been doing this for years. You know, you go back and get your Star Wars movie, Insurrection, 1996. I believe it was 96. The one with Picard as the captain. And they deal with that. When you see them old wrinkled up people, that represent the demiurge, and that fluid they shooting themselves represent the melanin to keep them, the cheap death to stay young. So we know that they've been doing this stuff. And, you know, they've been doing this stuff with the interferon, with the Atlanta Child Murders. We know that they announced the cure for SARS a few years ago was the interferon, but we know the interferon come from us, from the boys, from the young black boys. We know this. So we know they've been doing this on the underground. We know that they've been talking about the jeans as the hottest thing on the market. I remember they were talking about that in the early 90s, and I know they've been doing it before that. We know that we've been going to funeral homes the last 20 years, and you ever go to these funerals, you look at the body, you're like, damn. I mean, the bodies don't look like they used to. It's like they've been, like they look completely different. We know
they take everything out of those bodies, everything.
Yeah.
Everything. And, yeah. And back in the day, you know, in a lot of indigenous cultures, when a person transitioned, you put their body in the ground within 24 hours or less with everything
right.
they came in here with. We have a caller with a question when you finish with the comment you're making.
Okay, yeah, the thing is just bringing awareness to this thing, and it's just the enormity of them coming on the news and saying this, and it's so casual. And like LaToya just said, we don't even know. That's the tragedy of the whole thing. They can actually come on the news and say they put melatonin in a soft drink, and 60 to 70% of us don't even know what that means. That's a tragedy. That we really need to look ourselves in the mirror. And if you're on this call and you don't know what that means, shame on you. Not to be picking at you. I'm just saying, God damn. You understand what I'm saying? They are genociding us and announce it on the news like it's casual. If there wasn't such thing as one of these so-called leaders, we need to be raising hell at wherever the essence of that company is. The same way we went to Louisiana, if it's in Denver, Colorado, or Baltimore, wherever it's at. We should be in a national uproar right now. So we're going to get uproar about some Juno stuff with some kids hanging each other. But for them to announce that, that means it happens so rampant that they just go give a conservative report on it. We ought to be ashamed of ourselves.
But, you know, it's like y'all said, most people don't even know what melatonin is, much less where it comes from.
Nah,
I mean, you know, we talk about how they get the melatonin. What about, you know, just something else they've been doing for who knows how long.
No, how about this?
Getting all these pineal glands from? And doing these high rituals with these pineal glands. See, that's something that's not talked about.
Okay, I just got off the phone with the doctor. That's why I left out for a little bit. And I said, I want to get some confirmation from you because, you know, you a doctor. This is what you do. You diagnose people. You give people prescriptions for medication. They just told me that melatonin is not FDA approved in the United States. And if you take it, you taking it on your own free will because it is not FDA approved.
I can go right down the street to four stores within a two-mile radius and get a bottle of melatonin.
That's a
it
damn
shame. It is not FDA approved, and you are not safe if you're taking it.
What city are you in?
I'm in Richmond, Virginia.
Listen to me now, y'all. It is not FDA approved, and I know about products because me and Kofi are coming out with a skincare product, and there's a difference between something that is FDA approved
right.
and something that is natural.
Right.
Now, if it's natural,
it doesn't have to be FDA approved.
You don't have to get it FDA approved. It's
exactly.
just all natural.
Mm-hmm.
This is the problem. What if they're getting that melanin from people that are infected with HIV and hepatitis C? And then there's a lot of people out here of all races that's coming up with hepatitis C and don't even realize how they got it. People that old people that have been married for years, they ain't never had no problems, and all of a sudden they got hepatitis C. And then you got these dialysis places that's not opened up everywhere, all around, everywhere. I don't know if they a lot of them in Richmond, Virginia, but they ain't on every corner in Detroit.
It's about like a liquor store, barbecue place, dialysis center.
And a dialysis center.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like that here, too. If you look at the statistics, I'm going to say it like it is, only black people get treated for kidney failure because that's a disease that is targeted to the black community.
And what was the brother just saying just a second ago? He said they're doing the rituals with the pineal glands.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
They doing that candy
kind of thing.
Okay, I want to interject real quick because I want to get this caller. This caller has had their hand up for a moment. I don't want them to forget what their question is. Okay. Caller from area code 415, could you let us know who you are and where you're calling from?
This is better. Calling from unknown location. But
what's up,
Beta? Hey, what's happening? I just wanted to inform y'all, since this is Black Womaniverse, that it's a movie that you can watch, a full documentary called My Alpha 21.
Oh yeah,
and
let me put that link in there.
Yeah, please do that. And every Black person on the planet needs to see this movie. You know, I didn't even know this. You know, the highest killer of Black people is not AIDS, diabetes, heart disease, cancer.
It is abortion.
It's abortion.
So, you know, in this movie, they talked about things that I had no idea on, and I think everybody should just see it, and that's why I had my hand up, that's all.
Yeah, they came to Richmond to do a showing of that movie. They did a showing of that movie in a Black church, and nothing but white people showed up. And one of my friends was inside the church, and she was like, she was texting me while she was in there, because something told me not to go, and I had already seen it anyway. And she was like, I do not feel comfortable in here. Something just don't feel right. I said, sis, if your spirit telling you something ain't right, you just dip. I was like, you done already seen the movie. You thought you were going to be able to link up with, you know, some people that I guess, you know, were on your same path you're on. But if you don't feel comfortable, you need to leave. But she said all the people in there were, like, red in their face and their mouth was hanging open. Like, what the F? Like, what the fuck? Like, oh, my God. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Killed all them crackers while they was in there.
Well, I'm not.
Oh, y'all can hear me?
That's a start.
Oh, my bad.
That's a start.
Well, I mean, I don't necessarily think going out there and killing a whole bunch of people.
That's why I call from an undisclosed location.
Oh, goodness. I don't know. It's not white people that's more conscious than we are.
Exactly. That's what I mean. But,
They'll tell you that the Black woman is God before a Black man will tell you that the Black woman is God.
They sure will. I have had a whole lot I've had a whole bunch of people sending emails to me or sending messages to me through Blog Talk in reference to Black Womaniverse, in reference to, you know, the Black woman and, you know, all the culture coming from, you know, Black people. A lot of people don't have a problem admitting that. It's just we run into a lot of, we have to understand that we're operating out of a place of hate and hurt instead of looking at the big picture, that's what we're going to attract and pull to us. Now, I'm not going out there advocating that all, you know, white people or people that are of different cultures are good or bad. That's not my point of view. What I'm telling people is they need to understand things are not just based on race. They have to do with a spiritual aspect, and you have to learn to read the energy of people when they come around you, no matter what they look like.
Well, see, a lot of it is mind control. And I remember asking a brother one time, he was so upset and angry with white people, and it was like, oh, I'm mad with them. They put us into slavery. I said, well, let me ask you this. Have you ever been a slave? Well, no, but I'm a slave to this society. I said, no, did you go through slavery? Did you go through the Middle Passage? Did you get whipped, hung? Did you ever notice any lynching? Have you seen any lynching? I mean, besides the fact that police officer lynched that brother over there in California, that was a lynching right there. Shot him in the back of the head on plain sight on national television. So you have to ask yourself, why do they perpetuate fear in you at an early age to teach you about slavery anyway?
True.
Because they want you to feel like they are the boss when really they not the boss. But it's up to you to overcome that mentally, that was their world at that time and this is your world now. See, they want you to feel that way because, you know, they know they got a time limit. There's nothing they can do about their time limit. They got those neurons up in them.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what neurons do? That's why they're so white, pale skin. You know what neurons do? Neurons, when the earth faces the sun, they spontaneously combust.
Wow.
They dry up like gray ash, just like you see on them Dracula movies. And they have to do with the neurons, not the protons, not the atoms, the neurons. We have fewer neurons because we got all this melanin. Melanin takes up the space of our neurons. They don't have a whole lot of melanin, because so guess what? They got a whole lot of neurons. We were talking about it on the call last night. Let me find it so I can read it to you.
Could that be the real reason why they're doing all this melatonin work? All this
They're trying to build up the protons in their system because they know they're full of neurons. Hold on.
See, the fact that the pineal gland creates this, and the fact that they have to go out there and get it the way they get it or try to produce it synthetically tells you that their pineal glands, for the most part, I'm not talking about all, but for the most part, are calcified. Shit.
Well, you know, I'm going to tell y'all something. Y'all got people with cases of melatonin in their house. They got a stockpile supply. Whatever you're thinking.
So they know
what time it is, okay? They already know. There's basically nothing they can do about it. So, you know, we can't sit and be worrying about it either. You just got to know to be spiritually plugged in when the time comes. A lot of us don't be spiritually plugged in.
Exactly. Exactly.
But that is what it is. They are full of neurons. And when you dealing with neurons, you deal with what was in the book of Elijah. When he talked about the day shall come, well, it shall burn as hot as an oven, and yea, that a wicked will be trampled like ashes under thy feet. It was speaking of the neurons. But we don't know science. So we don't know no better about the neurons. Okay, it says here, during the, you know, the genetic process, right? There was a implanted miniature neuron. Implanted miniature neutron bomb burn and vaporize living human flesh, then leave behind inorganic matter.
That's what they dropped in Nagasaki, isn't it?
Yes, but the thing about it is, their body is full of these neutrons. They full of them. Especially the ones with the pale blue eyes and like the real pale blonde hair. They full of the neutrons and the neurons. And you find this out when you're doing anatomy. Okay, put it this way. When they find a dead body that's badly decomposed, how can they tell whether that person was a black person, a biracial person, or a Caucasian person, an Asian person, or a Hispanic person, or an Arab person, if they burn beyond recognition? They run the ashes from the body through a chemical test and test it for the neutrons. I studied this and found this out. So this is where research and studying and making yourself a scientist comes in at. So I read up about neutrons and neurons, and it says that in the body, you know, as far as those that have the neutrons, and this is dealing with spontaneous combustion. They're in the body. Those neutrons act as small bombs. They act as implanted, miniature small bombs, neutron bombs. And what happens is if that person, if their alkaline level is not right in the body and their salt level is not correct in the body, if the body is lacking salt, and I ain't talking about sodium because there's a difference between sodium and salt. We had a discussion about that last night. Okay? If your alkaline levels are not correct in the body, then what happens is those neutrons act as miniature bombs, and it burns and vaporizes the human flesh, leaving behind inorganic matter. Now, note what it said. It said inorganic. It didn't say organic. What is the difference between organic and inorganic? Inorganic is usually something that's man-made to perpetrate as an organic. And then organic is naturally made of the earth. No pesticides, no additives, no nothing added to it. Inorganic means it's something that's done been taken through a process, correct? It's there in the science. All we got to do is pick up books and read and research. So that's what we're going to have to start doing. Now, I found this just studying about spontaneous combustion. I just was curious. And then I read about, I said, well, how do they identify the bodies after they find them burned like that? How do they know whether they're black, white, Hispanic? How can they tell what race it is? They go by the neutrons in the neurons and the neutrons in the body, the potassium level in the body. So you got to know your body. What makes you who you are and what makes them who they are? Then you know what your strengths are and what your weaknesses are. Most people that can live in the Antarctic and the Eskimos that live in Alaska have extremely, extremely high levels of omega. The omega fish oil, they have extremely high levels of that omega fish oil and the minerals in the fish that they eat. Puts those oils in their skin, and the cold don't affect them the way it affects you. They have high levels of mercury. They need that mercury in their system to make the molecules in their body travel faster throughout the body so they won't freeze. But if you take that same Eskimo or that same Indian from up there and bring them down to Miami, their body will go in the shop. They go visit, but they can't stay for no long period of time. They'll have to take certain trips back and forth or keep their air conditioner on in their house in order to do it. That's just like somebody moving from Chicago down to Miami. Especially if you ain't in good health and you eating chitlins every other day and pork chops up there in Chicago, and then you call yourself going to move to the tropics. Yeah, you really about to be fucked up. Pneumonia and the whole nine yards. Gout. You going to have it all. Cold air keeps out inflammation. Hot air makes inflammation worse. So your arthritis and your gout ain't going to cut up on you as bad up in Chicago and Detroit, even though you may have it, but it ain't going to cut up as bad because you're in a cold environment. And that cold keeps the inflammation out. But you take your behind down to Miami and live down in Miami for about a good year, you're going to be dead. Your body going to just swell up. That fluid gonna build up in your body. You probably drown on your own fluid, and they call it pneumonia. And then you'll be like, well, damn, how they get pneumonia all the way down to Miami? It's hot down there. You got to know anatomy and science.
You know, it was this was over 10 years ago. This brother, this was in Maryland, and I had a friend, so I can't remember if it was Bobby or Duro, brother they knew from high school. And this brother had no consciousness whatsoever, none. I think he still had a jerry curl at the time in the late 90s. And he's working for the hospital, and so he's talking with the brother, and he said, "Well, what you got on the back of those on the back of the truck?" And it was a bunch of it was these jars, and he said, "What's in those jars?" He said, "Oh, those are pineal glands."
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "But he said the guy did.
Wow.
It was like
wow.
it was a whole bunch of them, like how you would stock some Wheaties or some cigarettes or something. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It was a whole bunch of them. It wasn't like it was 10 of them or 20. It was like 100 or 200. You see what I'm saying? And they were stocked like you stock a grocery shelf." He said, "Oh, those are pineal glands." He said, "Yeah, that's from the homicide victims over the weekend, over the past week or something." However, he said over the weekend or the past week.
Yeah, and that same thing happens with when we go in the hospital as women and have our babies in the hospital, have our children in the hospital. They keep our placentas.
That's right.
Yep.
And you know what I found out? Legally, they're supposed to ask you if you
yes.
want them to store you in a freezer.
Yes, the same thing with your teeth. And all that stuff when you go to the dentist. Every time we go and get something cut up or taken out or what have you, they're keeping these parts. And every part of our body, especially internal organs, are high counts of melanin. It's not just melanin that's in our body that's on our skin. It's inside of our skin, especially when it comes to the womb of the woman and the genital area of the man. There's a lot of melanin in those areas, very concentrated.
Yeah, you know, one thing I want the listeners to think about is the magnitude of what we're discussing right here.
Yeah, talk more about the pineal glands.
The pineal, I'm just think about it. Just let that soak in for me. Let's just say 100. Let's be conservative.
Yeah,
they
be doing the rituals. I want to hear more about the rituals.
Yeah. So we're talking about 100, and that's in a metropolis, that's in Baltimore, Maryland. You can't imagine what they do in the country. Or in other countries. This is here in America.
Or they're doing concerts over in California.
You see what I'm saying?
New York.
Where did they get them from to be in a metropolitan area?
Georgia.
And haul them around like you a Brinks truck.
Uh-huh.
In Baltimore, Maryland. Not some remote area out in the country. Oh, like it's just casual. So this is a genocide. And like you say, the rituals and then the medical treatment and everything come with it. This is what's going down. It has been going on forever, but it's just they just come on TV on the news now and just announce it.
There's something called the obscene rites, which is
yep.
which is a high ritual
yep.
within the secret societies called
That's
the
right.
obscene rites, which include eating pineal glands.
Page 256 of the Black Sun.
Okay.
That Peter Moon.
You said the Black Sun, page 256?
The Black Sun, page 256. I believe the author is Peter Moon. It's Peter Moon, and the co-author was Preston Nichols, but I think he bagged out. I don't know if he's on the – I know it's Peter Moon, but Preston Nichols had a lot to do with that book, too, who's the cousin of Terry Nichols, you know, the Oklahoma City thing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But that, they have a theory. The Montauk series, they had some other books, but that's the one. I think it was like two or three books, but that's the best of their books is the Black Sun. You get the Black Sun, and they call it the Blue Man because you like back then they would always quote the movies and the books. So they call it the Blue Man. You got to replace the Blue Man with Black Man. See what I'm saying? You got to know how to put the melanin in what they're writing.
Mm-hmm.
because you can kind of it can kind of be misconstrued as a science fiction book. You see what I'm saying? But on page 256, they document that they eat us. They call melanin a cultum. Because remember, before it was viril, it was a cultum.
Yep, they,
remember?
Yeah,
they used to call it a cultum. They used to call melanin a cultum. And so they say a cultum, it says something to the effect of a cultum is not only used on the world's black, because a few pages before that they discuss how it's used on the world's black market, like what we're talking about, these melatonin deals and stuff. And a cultum, they call melanin, was used on the world's black market. But then on page 256, they say, it's not only used on the black market, but it's ingested for longevity or something to that effect. So on the top of page,
I think it was called a cultum before it was even called, scientifically before it was called melanin.
Exactly.
I believe they was calling it a cultum before they was even calling it melanin.
Yeah, that hidden substance.
How do you spell
a cultum? OCCULTISM.
Oh, hell.
Cultum.
All right,
hold on,
let me speak. Go ahead, I'm sorry. That book was written 10 years ago. Because you can't imagine what they're doing now. Remember all the Son of Sam and the Jeffrey Dahmer, all that stuff?
You read my mind. I was just about to say Jeffrey Dahmer.
And,
I just told you.
And all these orders. Jeffrey Dahmer's in the middle of the hood in Milwaukee. What is he doing in the hood?
Jeffrey Dahmer was
eating black people.
Jeffrey Dahmer was a mason.
Of course he was.
He was a 33rd degree mason, Toronto. Him and his dad.
I did not know that. I never heard that.
Him and his father. His father is a Shriner. His father is like one top of the top in that area where they live at.
Call me a conspiracy theorist, but I do not think Jeffrey Dahmer is dead. They put him in the middle of a black neighborhood, knew what he was doing, and he was eating black people, and he got locked, and they put him in jail, and all of a sudden they come up with a video showing that somebody killed him. He was connected. That man did not get killed in jail. He was put there in that community to do what he did. I don't think he, that's nasty.
Yeah.
That's disgusting.
That's something that you
want. Well, let me ask y'all this. Did y'all pay very close attention to the trial? I was a little girl, and I paid close attention to the trial. I didn't miss a minute of it.
I did not. I did not want any. I didn't. At that time, I wasn't really aware of what was going on, so I didn't. I really did not want to see any of it. Just the subject itself was just enough to make me just want to really kill some people, white people, that is. But I said, nah, I'll just let that be. But see, now I'm at a point now in my level of understanding that I can go back and look at it and see, you know, what was really going on and the different things that was happening. You know, because in order to be a Shriner, you must be a 32nd degree Mason or a Knights Templar before you can become a Shriner.
Mhm. Now during the trial, right? Y'all listen closely. When he was a little boy, I think his mother had mysteriously died. The Val the Blue just died. He was left there with his father. His father and grandfather owned a butchering plant where they butcher cows and pigs. Okay? Now, it was brought up during the trial, why did he only choose Hispanic people and black people, and especially men, but there were some women that were killed. It was brought up that the father was a member, extensive member of the Ku Klux Klan. And then that's when it came out about the father being a Shriner. And that's when it came out about him being a 33rd degree and also a Shriner. But he's under his father. His father is like the highest level of the high. His mother was a daughter of Sphinx.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a female Shriner.
Yep.
They the one that mysteriously died. They said that something was fishy behind how the mother, you know, died or whatever. And He was left alone with his dad and his grandfather. He was raised around all men on this butchering farm. And they were talking about how the father and the grandfather used to lynch black men and Mexican men. Some of the Mexicans will work for their butchering plant, and they will go out to, with them, find out what kind of club they hung out at, and the next thing you know, some of the workers will come up missing and wouldn't even be going back home to Mexico to their family. Now, we know that if you throw a dead body in a pen full of pigs, they're going to eat that body.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I mean, pigs eat everything. They were originally used as like a garbage disposal.
Yeah. So he was raised around this. So what happened was he used to kill small animals. He would strangle them and bury them. Any kind of way he could kill them, he would kill them, birds, rabbits, raccoons, whatever he get his hands on. I think he killed his dog, too. He would kill the cats around the neighborhood out in the country. Cats would all come up missing. Okay, so after high school, he went into the Army. He went into the military. And I believe he went into the Navy. The Army or the Navy. But I strongly believe in my memory it was the Navy. Okay, so when he went into the military, he started going to church. And he went to church an awful lot. And he left from out of the military and left the church and started using drugs. And they said that's when he had started, you know, his homosexual rampages. But the prosecutor said in the documentary that I saw that he felt that Jeffrey Dahmer had done, like when he was going to them different duty stations, they feel like that he killed people during those duty stations because he went over to Korea for some time, Thailand, and somewhere else overseas he went to and then came back here. Okay, so you remember one of the little young boys that got away from him that night was an Asian. And the police gave him back to Jeffrey Dahmer.
What?
Right? Now, them two police officers that gave that man back to Jeffrey Dahmer were Masons.
What?
So are 60% of the police in the United States all across this country.
Yeah, I know. I used to date one. Okay, so the two police officers that gave the boy back to him was Masons. And that's why that police department got sued and had to pay that boy's family like $18 million because the family's lawyers paid a private investigator, and he's the one that dropped the whistle about Dahmer being a Mason. See, before they just knew that his father was a Mason and a Shriner. They didn't know that he was one. So they dug and pried, and then they found out. And they felt that that was why those officers gave that boy back over to them, to him.
Yeah, because he gave them a sign.
He gave them the sign.
He gave them the sign
or whatever.
Yeah.
And they knew what time it was. They knew he was going to use that boy for a ritual sacrifice and made the boy go back with him.
Yeah, okay. let me add something to this while you're on that vein real quick, because I am a Mason, and I can tell you exactly what they did.
Mm-hmm.
The very same man who wrote the rituals for Masons, for Freemasons, for Scottish Rite Masonry, is the very same man who wrote the rituals and the Constitution for the Ku Klux Klan. His name is Albert Pike. He was also a very involved occultist. You can just Google his name, and you can come up with all kinds of things about Albert Pike, and it'll if you're not familiar with this type of information, it will blow your mind. But what you're talking about as far as them bringing him back to Jeffrey Dahmer, yeah, they gave him, it was a sign given. It had to be, because there is a part of the ritual that says, and you go so far up the degrees, there is a part in the ritual where it says that they will not disclose your secrets, murder and treason accepted, which means you can do just about anything, but murder and treason, That's up to a certain degree. But when you go into a higher degrees, murder and treason is not accepted, which means you can do that and they still won't tell on you. As long as you know the right sign to give, that you can get away with murder and treason.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in the obligation. It's in the obligation and the oath that you take. And I don't mind saying this because even though I have reached 32 degrees, I will never go back to a lodge because it's bullshit to me now at this point. I mean, but that's for real.
They don't do a whole lot of fundraising. That's about it. They don't do no whole lot, not the real teaching.
Oh, no, they don't do no real teaching. They don't do any real teaching in the black lodges. I can tell you that for a fact.
I live with my family, so I know. And I know more than what they know.
Exactly.
They can't do nothing. But back to Jeffrey Dahmer, though. When he did go to court, right, and the psychiatrist got up there, they showed his, when he was doing the interview with the psychiatrist, and you know what he told them? He said, so why was you doing all the killing? Why kill them? He said, well, you know, when I went to that church, they told me, you know, that God comes back to deal with the wicked. He comes back to slay the wicked, right? He said, so I love God with all my heart, and I just wanted to meet him and see him. So I was going to keep killing until he come back and stop me. I mean, you say he's real. You say he's a man like me. You say he came in the flesh. I wanted to see him come back in the flesh and stop me. So they said, so if the police wouldn't have caught you, you would still be out killing. He said, yes, I'd still be out killing because I want him to come back and stop me. He out there. He's supposed to be so real. Well, let's see how real he is. Let's see he's going to come stop me. That's how crucial he was. And when the trial was going on, because people are so blinded by their religion, they just totally missed what the hell that man was saying. That was a wake-up call right there for everybody. Because for him to be that hideous and to do the things that he did, and see, in his mind, he felt like it was a beautiful thing. It was even though the smell of his apartment was just horrible, he felt like it smelled like a beautiful thing. So it's all in whatever your definition of heinous is, what your definition of grotesque is. But his definition was it was a beautiful thing. You know. And he said he was going to keep killing until God come back to stop him. Now, I say that to say this. You got to think of the mind of that man in order to think that way. Do you know how many other people feel the same way and doing the same shit? Around here killing prostitutes, killing children, killing people that's under the radar. Look at the brother Foles up there in Cleveland. Foles' daddy is a Shriner, and that's the same daddy that left that house to his stepmother, which is an Eastern Star. And all this stuff is starting to come out now about he was mad with that woman because he said the daddy ain't had no business leaving that family house to that woman, but the woman was his wife, you know. But like he said, he just didn't feel like that was right, and he was doing rituals on the women. And I got a whole breakdown of that because I done did a genealogy of all their names. So I already know what time it was. I already know what dimension he was living in and what dimension he was on and everything, why he did what he did, why he sacrificed those women and did what he did and everything. I got the whole rundown.
Wow. We're going to have to definitely get into that. But before we do, I'm going to open up one of the lines.
Y'all think Jeffrey Dahmer was off the chain. Souls is the one, that black dude. He the one. And the channel came through and told me that there was going to be a black serial killer and that it was going to be dealing with cannibalism.
Mm.
This is back
July 1st.
Channel came through.
Wow, I see. I was just about to ask you about channeling, too, because I wanted you to touch on that.
We was warning our listening audience. We do a call on Sunday night.
Could you give us the information for the call for the listeners, and I'll put it in the chat room?
The phone number, hold on one second.
It's 712-451. 6100, and the PIN number is 106-4466 pound.
What time is this, Sunday?
Sunday's at 9 o'clock. In
9
evening.
O'clock Eastern?
And yeah, yeah, PM, 9 p.m.
Eastern.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the whole, several months before he even got busted, I had been putting a warning out there, like, keep your eyes and ears open because y'all going to hear about people and cannibalism, and you're going to hear about a black serial killer. And that's exactly what happened. Now, this is another thing y'all need to realize, too. There's a white guy out of Virginia. You say you in Richmond?
Yes.
Okay, there's a little white boy out of Virginia, out of West Virginia. And what was going on was they was having to cut the job of the dog catchers. You know, the people that go around and catch the stray dogs and cats. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? The dog catchers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they was having to cut the jobs of the dog catchers because they was like, it wasn't no stray animals around. So the state had to cut the budget this year because there was hardly any stray animals.
Mm.
So this young man got on the internet, and they done took the blog down that he had up there. But he wrote a blog about it. He said, well, the reason why there aren't a lot of stray dogs and cats around here is because my dad and mom both lost their jobs. And, you know, when you in a desperate situation, you just do what you got to do to survive. So not just our family, but a lot of the families around in our community, we eat the cats and the dogs. Okay. So if you're dealing with an area where people done started eating the stray cats and the stray dogs, y'all understand what time it is now? Y'all, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Wow.
What they going to do when the cats and the dogs run out? Go to squirrels? I don't think so.
They can't catch them.
Okay.
Don't play that.
We living in them times in the Bible where the woman told the other woman, well, we'll eat your baby tonight, and then tomorrow we'll eat my baby. Mm. We live in a time where a mother sell her baby to some thugs, and them thugs go outreach and sell the baby to some white man. They use the baby in a ritual and throw on the side of the road up underneath a deer caucus. Now I'm from here, so they can't tell me. I know. When y'all look at the situation about that boy, they say kidnapped that baby here in Fayetteville. This is what I want y'all to think about. They show all kind of pictures of him going in the hotel with the baby, but they never show no pictures of that nigga leaving with him. They don't even show a picture of him leaving. They don't even show a picture of him driving off. Why?
And see, that's the same thing I am trying to explain to people.
They show a picture of him arriving there with the baby, but they never show no picture of him leaving. They know what time it is. People been selling their kids. People been doing that.
You
just late.
Another subject we want to touch on, and specifically with the black community.
Now, hold on.
Funny uncles.
Can you hold on for 1 minute right quick, Brother Amaru, before y'all get into that?
Doing rituals on their own kids and stuff.
Okay.
A lot of that happens. A lot of child molestation happens because these different family members be a part of these occult orders, and they get up in the rank, and that's what they do. I got plenty of surviving victims in my family. I got plenty of friends that have survived stuff, and that's what be going down.
You ain't never lost.
Exactly.
Okay, Vader, we have you back on the line. I wanted you to, you said you had a special request that you were going to, you know, give out to the people, so I wanted you to go ahead and let everyone know about My Alpha 21 again, because we have more people in the chat room and more people listening now, so I want you to repeat the information about My Alpha 21, and then I want you to get into what you wanted to tell the community tonight.
Okay. Like earlier we were saying, My Alpha 21, the documentary about the number one cause of black genocide today, through Planned Parenthood. And, you know, that's the number one killer of black people right now is Planned Parenthood abortions. And the thing that my group does on the weekends, we pass out DVDs, but we're going to start standing in front of Planned Parenthood passing out these DVDs. It doesn't cost much to print out these DVDs. What you can do is go to YouTube and find the film, and if you can download the Real Player, and from Real.com or whatever, and you can it'll make it easy. You can just snatch the video right off of YouTube and convert it. So we're just asking all of our black people all across the country, you know, please go stand in front of Planned Parenthood on the weekends whenever you have time. We're doing it on the weekends because Friday, Saturday, and Sunday is when they had the highest volume of people coming in there. And please pass these out to the sisters and the brothers going in there. Please, you know, and keep our people informed about what's going on in our community. All these Planned Parenthoods are concentrated in black areas, you know what I'm saying, black and Latino areas, because they want to kill us. So we just ask that, when people have time, please go to Planned Parenthood, stand out there, and hand those DVDs off and give people the information. Okay? That's all I'm really asking.
Have any of y'all ever noticed that the white protesters, they always protest the abortion clinics in the white neighborhoods, but they never come in the black neighborhoods and protest?
Yeah, they want us to die. They don't. Well, I'll put it like this. They don't care about whether or not our babies are being slaughtered wholesale. But see, they know the effects it has on them because they already had a negative birth rate, so they understand the impact of abortion on the European or the Caucasian race. They understand that. We seem to be just sleepwalking for the most part. And I'm not talking to the people that's on the line that's listening to this show, because if you're listening, then you're already in the know, at least somewhat, that something wrong is going on here. I'm talking about those brothers and sisters walking up and down the street on a daily basis, you know, that's tuning into Monday Night Football and BET and Flavor of Love and all that bullshit on TV they watching, and just going on about like ain't nothing really happening. Those are the ones I'm talking about. Those are the ones that's lining up at these clinics killing our babies.
And you know what? What they don't know is every time you go into a clinic and perform and get an abortion performed, they put your name in a national database. And if you are a married woman, they put you and your husband in a database. And if, let's say, you go in there with your boyfriend, best believe they get the tag number off that car
or they tap your phone and find out who your boyfriend is and put his name in a national database. Because they realize that when you come to your senses, you could come back and be a potential attacker, a potential bomber.
Mm-hmm.
So the same way Bin Laden is on the list, your ass is on the list too. As soon as you go use your debit card and charge that abortion to your debit card for your girlfriend, they're putting your name on a national database list. I know someone got 7 abortions. And when she went to get her 8th abortion, they told her they couldn't do it in North Carolina.
They couldn't do it in North
Carolina. I'm talking
about
the whole state. I'm talking about the whole state.
Mm-hmm.
So then she went to South Carolina. Guess what they told her in South Carolina? No, sweetheart. So then she went to Virginia. And finally, the doctor in Virginia, I guess because they so, you know, they not liberal up there at all. They real anal up there.
Mm-hmm.
That nurse pulled her aside. It was a black nurse. Pulled her aside and said, sweetheart, do you realize your name is in the national database? She said, now, you're going to have this one because ain't nobody going to touch you. Because if we touch you, we're going to get our license took. They say, you're going to have this one. I'm sorry. You on this list, you're going to have this one. You can't even get administered no more. Nobody else can't even do them. She'll have to go to a private doctor, like a private physician, to get it done. Why? Because, like she told her, she said, and if you keep going around all these different places, she said, how many places you done been to so far? She said, 3. She said, okay, if you keep going around to any more places, there's going to be some men in black suits coming knocking on your door.
Wow.
See, when these abortion clinics get bombed and shit, or when you be out there protesting, they take pictures of everybody and profile everybody. And they have a local FBI agent there in that area, wherever you at, to just ride past your house every day. They know your comings and your goings. So why you think they don't know? Oh, they know. They got a satellite they can watch your ass from. They can set somebody at a desk with up to 30 screens, and all they do is watch the movement on them 30 screens and document what they see on each screen. So the lady straight up pulled this person who I know aside and was like, look, you can't even do this no more. I went to the hospital with a friend of mine years ago in Jacksonville. She was pregnant with twins. And she was like 6 months pregnant and decided she wanted to get an abortion. So what they do is they have to put this little small, skinny little tampon thing. It looks like a tampon, but it's real skinny. It's like the size of a straw. And they stick it up there to dilate your cervix. And it's made out of seaweed and something else. And they wet it. And what it does is it opens your cervix up for them to go in and prepare you for the abortion. So she pulls the tampon thing out and decides she don't want to get the abortion no more. But she had left it up in there for a day and was dealing with the pain of it being in there before she decided she didn't want to get the abortion. So she asked me to go out there to the hospital with her or whatever. So we went to the emergency room, and the doctor that saw her was a white man. And he told her straight up, he started crying. He closed the door and started crying after he examined her because he said it was too late. She had left the thing in there too long. It had done dilated too much, and she'll start going into a miscarriage. He said, now, the only thing I can do, I could try to stitch it up for you and, like, sew it together and give you, like, some dissolving stitches. He said, but even still, that's still not going to work. You'll have to be bedridden. He said, why did you decide to do it so late in your pregnancy? These babies, if you would have waited another 2 weeks, they could have survived outside of your womb. Why did you, you know, do this? And she went all into her song and danced about why she did it, and I went into my song and danced about why I told her not to do it, and she wouldn't do the shit anyway. And he started crying and said, you know, I'm a born-again Christian. He was like, and I didn't. He said he went and got saved and gave his life to Christ. He was like, and I'm going to tell you like this. He said, I did abortions for 30 years. He said, I'm a multimillionaire just from giving abortions to women like you. He didn't say white women. He told her women like her. He said, I had 4 abortion clinics in black communities. And he just was boo-hoo crying. And he said, and you know what? I killed all those babies. I killed all your babies. He said, and I have to go in front of the church 3 and 4 nights a week and just try to cry it out and just beg for forgiveness. And I beg for forgiveness 3-4 days a week because I realize how many souls I have taken. He said, because we sit there and tell you that those babies don't have a soul, but that's because we're trying to get your money. Mm. He said, every last one of those babies I pulled up out of you, they have a soul. He said, and I have to go and repent 4 nights a week. He said, and that's still not enough. He said he opened 3 or 4 type of clinics down there in Jacksonville, and they like non-for-profit. He don't make no money off of them. And what he does is try to educate teenage mothers, you know, to keep their babies and stuff like that. And he said that the government done came and tried to shut him down like 4 or 5 times. They done tried to shut his facilities down because what happens down there is if you're pregnant, they try to put you out of school. He opened up some adoption agencies so that when the women are pregnant now and they come to his abortion clinic, they talk them out of getting an abortion and send them over to his adoption agency. And he find like families within different churches and different prominent families around there to adopt the children instead of killing the babies. And it's going on right down there in Jacksonville. And he said it don't matter how much money he done gave and how many facilities that he can open to do this to try to right his wrong, the fact is that he still did and he still held accountable for all those souls that he took. And he said that because he felt like because they was little black babies, it didn't matter. And I'm going to tell y'all what made him realize that the babies had souls. He told us that his daughter got ready to give birth to twins. And both of the twins was born stillborn. Mm. Both of the babies was dead. They had done died like maybe the day before she went into labor or something. But both of them babies was born dead, and this was like his baby girl, you know, daddy's girl, you know, pride and joy. Oh, I'm about to be a granddaddy, and that shit fucked him up. He said at that point, all the lies he told all them years hit him in his face. Because, you know, when you go in there, they tell you the baby ain't really a baby and don't really have a soul till it's, like, out of the womb. That's that bullshit they tell you. He said that when his grandbabies came out stillborn, he knew what time it was right then. He knew what time it was. His daughter committed suicide after that. Mm. And he's been trying to make it up ever since. But, you know, we have friends and family members that go through this, and it's sad because these are the same ones that will be up in the church claiming they saved, giving their tithes and offering, and I tell you that you the devil because you believe that you God, and because you know about melanin and they don't. Mm-hmm. But as soon as their daughter get pregnant, they know which abortion clinics to take her to. Mm-hmm. And to go to Jesus and say, oh, well, I'm sorry, but she just can't have this baby. Be speaking in tongues, rolling around all on the floor and all, and be the first one to give them $300 or $600 or whatever they need to give them to go kill it.
Yeah. And, you know, on that note, because we on a subject now that really hits home with us in the black community, we want to roll this over to our taboo topic after the break. We want to take a little break, but we want to roll this over into the taboo topic of incest and child molestation in the black home, because this is happening on a daily basis, and a great amount of these abortions are the result of incest and child molestation, and we ain't talking about it.
That's
right.
So that's what we want to broach that subject after the break. We want to talk about some funny uncles. He be as one who has many nieces and nephews whom I've raised in my home. That's a real sensitive subject to me.
It's funny.
Also,
now the women be molesting kids too. Now.
Oh, no doubt, no doubt. And you know, I can tell you that there was an older female when I was young that so taught me the ropes, so to speak, and she was much older.
Uh-huh.
So I do understand that side of it as well. So we want to talk about that because that's something that we don't talk about in the black community, even the conscious community, whatever you want to call it. It's just something that's not talked about, and it's a problem. It's a real problem because the children, the victims of these heinous acts are just that. They're victims, and then they grow up, for the most part, and become the perpetrators. Not always, but for the most part. And for the most part, they are never really quite right because they don't ever get the treatment or the therapy that they need in order to be able to process and deal with what's actually happened to them.
Yeah, then in a perpetual cycle, and they do it to the next one and the next one and on and on and on.
Exactly. So right after the break, we want to hit that subject. We want to get into that real quick. So we're just going to take a quick break, play a song, catch our breath, get a drink of water, what have you, and then we'll come back and talk about that.
Why haven't you learned anything?
Man, that school shit is a joke. The same people who control the school system control the prison system and the whole social system ever since slavery.
Some redneck crackers. Right around the time Third Base dropped the Cactus album, but I was reading Malcolm. I changed my name in 89, cleaning parts of my brain like a baby nine. I took a history class serious, front row, every day of the week, third period, fucking with the teacher's head, calling the racist. I try to show them crackers some light, they couldn't face it. I got my diploma from a school called Rickers, full of teenage mothers and drug dealing niggas in the hallways. The popo was always present, searching through niggas' possessions, looking for dope. Weapons, get your lessons. That's what my moms kept stressing. I tried to pay attention, but their classes weren't interesting. They seemed to only glorify the Europeans, claiming Africans were only 3/5 of human beings.
These schools can't teach us shit. My people need freedom. We trying to get all we can get. All my high school teachers can suck my dick, telling me white man lies, straight bullshit.
That brainwash camp, they make you think if you drop out, you ain't got a chance to advance in life. They try to make you pull your pants up. Students fight the teachers and get took away in handcuffs. And if that wasn't enough, then they expel y'all. Your people's understanding, but to them, you a failure. Observation and participation, my favorite teachers, when they beat us in the head with them books, it don't reach us. Whether you break dance or rock, suede, Adidas, or be in the bathroom with your clique, smoking reefer, then you know they mad. Class ain't important unless you add enough cash and multiple. Unemployment ain't rewarding. They may as well teach us extortion. You either get paid or locked up. The principal is like a warden in a 4-year stint. Mad niggas never finish, but that doesn't mean I couldn't be a doctor or a dentist.
State schools can't teach us shit. My people need freedom. We trying to get all we can get. All my high school teachers could suck my dick, telling me white man lies, straight bullshit. State schools can't teach us shit. My people need freedom. We trying to get all we can get. All my high school teachers could suck my dick, telling me white man lies, straight bullshit. Bullshit.
joints, fuck y'all. We gon' speak for ourselves. Know what I'm saying? Cause see, the schools ain't teaching us nothing. They ain't teaching us nothing but how to be slaves and hard workers for white people to build up their shit, make their businesses successful while they exploiting us. You know what I'm saying? And they ain't teaching us nothing related to solving our own problems. You know what I'm saying? They ain't teaching us how to get crack out the ghetto. They ain't teaching us how to stop the police from murdering us and brutalizing us. They ain't teaching us how to get our rent paid. You know what I'm saying? They ain't teaching our families how to interact better with each other. You know what I'm saying? They just teaching us how to build their shit up. You know what I'm saying? That's why my niggas got a problem with the shit. That's why niggas be dropping out that shit, because it don't relate. You go to school and the fucking police search you. Sister could suck my dick. Bitch!
All right. We're back. You know, I'm looking at the comments in the chat room, you know, after we put it in there that we were going to be talking about this. And, you know, I just find it interesting that some of the comments that I see, you know, for the most part, you know, we're in agreement that this is something that needs to be talked about. That we really don't talk about. It's a very touchy subject. It's a painful subject, and it's something that you really have to be, when you're talking about dealing with these victims of these acts, you have to be real sensitive to people. At the same time, when it comes to dealing with the perpetrators, I got no sympathy. I got no hesitation. You know, I say deal with it swiftly. You know, in some Arab countries, if you molest a child, you die. Period. You die.
Yeah.
The part that I don't like is, so does the child.
Yeah.
Okay. And see, I think that's where we can improve on that system. But I say, you molest a child, we know you molested that child, off with your fucking head. And I ain't apologizing for my language.
Yep. You know, it's interesting. We did a conference, and the sisters, there was a speaker that was, he made a beautiful speech then. It was one of the best speeches I ever heard. Then for whatever reason, he met it up on the sisters. He started, just bad mouthing sisters, saying, you know, as far as them being inferior and stuff. But anyway, the sisters, after they started talking about that, they had started talking about, you know, what you're saying here, the funny uncle. And the painful thing is, it was the majority of them. It was like seven of them down there, and five of them had the experience. You know, it's not even half. It seemed like we're dealing with maybe 60% or something. And I agree with you. I remember something that Farrakhan said years ago. He said that they can take a satellite up in space and film a African ant and do a National Geographic on what the ant does for 6 months from a satellite up in space. And he says, you mean to tell me you don't think they can fix a condition? And I agree with you 110%. If they killed anybody that got caught molesting a child or raping a woman, I think that's in the same boat. Just kill them. If they found guilty, they just die. I guarantee you that those statistics will go down. I guarantee it.
No doubt.
And it was the African man, we were talking about, I don't know if it was on this call last week or on the call, our call, it was in Iran. The guy said, we don't have homosexuality. was one of the Mid-Eastern.
Mid-Eastern
country. He said, we don't have homosexuality here. He said, right. He said, what is with you Americans in this homosexuality? Anybody get caught doing that, they just kill them.
That's not what he said. But he said,
basically. It was an African, it was similar to African country said it. He said, we just kill them. And that cuts down on the homosexuality. That's why they don't have it.
He basically was saying that one of the white students at Yale, asked Ahmadinejad, they said, how do you handle the census of the homosexual community that you have in Iran? Like, they want to know the status of the census. You know, like how you do a census of how many women, how many men, how many elderly, how many handicapped. This white boy wants to know the census of how many gays lived in Iran. That's what he said. How many gay citizens do you have in Iran? And Ahmadinejad said, What is this? What is this with this gay? He was like, what is this with you Americans and the Europeans and everybody with this gay? He said, we don't have that. And so the guy was like, what do you mean you don't have that? He said, we don't have that in my country. We don't have that. And he said, so you're saying there are no gay members of society there? There are no gay communities? He said, well, we don't have that. He said, I'm going to tell you why we don't have that. We don't have that because of the children. If we let people do this gay, then what are they going to do to the children? We have to raise the babies and the little girls and little boys to be raised up. They don't need to see nothing like that. The gay will mess with the babies. It'll mess with the little boys and the little girls. That's exactly what he said. He said, so over in my country, we don't have that.
You know,
in other words, he was saying what Kofi was saying without saying it, but he was saying, we find out you're gay, we kill you. We ain't having it.
See, culture. You know, culture is everything. Everything is culture.
But I'm going to tell y'all why they say that and why they kill the baby, too. Over in the Middle Eastern countries, especially like in India and places like that, when they get involved with doing these Qabbalah rituals and these different rituals that they do, what they do is they'll sodomize little boys and sodomize little girls. Most of the time, they don't rape them in the vagina. They sodomize them. So you got to know what kind of molestation be going on over there. When they get up in age, they might rape them in the vagina, but when they be little girls and little boys, they be sodomizing them little boys and little girls because they call themselves going to different dimensions. And they also be trying to resurrect, they use them in rituals to try to resurrect dead spirits by people that's done went on, that's done crossed over, that don't have the flesh anymore. What they'll do is they'll victimize this child and sodomize this child to do a ritual to input that person's soul in that child's body. And a lot of time it works. Because they can commit that act and strip the soul that the child came in with, they can strip that soul from the child and put in that more dominating soul of the person who they're trying to bring back from the underworld. So that's their reason, their purpose behind why, you know, they'll kill the molester and then kill the child. Because sometimes they can call the child by that person's name, and they'll answer by that person's name. They won't even answer by their own name anymore. And it happens in the black community as well. Funny uncles, funny aunts, funny brothers. That shit don't just start when you get grown. You just decide you want to go molest a little girl or molest a little boy. That shit be in you in your young years. When you a child, you be filling up on other relatives and shit or doing little shit when nobody ain't looking.
That ain't some shit that just come out when you grown. And what's sad is you got parents that'll see kids doing shit and think the shit is cute. That'll be making a dog or fuck a stuffed animal or some shit and be watching and think that shit is cute. That's going to be a pedophile later. Gonna be a straight up child molester. Leave that same 10 or 11 year old boy or girl, whichever one is doing it, in the room with a small baby and see what happens. If nobody ain't looking.
Yeah.
We don't want to look at our kids like that or our relatives like that or our little nieces and nephews, our cousins. But that shit start out. Let's get off the grown people. That shit start out when they be children. So if you got a child in your house right now at this moment that you know is doing some fucked up shit and got some fucked up energy, you better nip it in the bud now. So that's going to be a monster when it gets later on. It's going to be a monster.
And it's just like this, you know, these little girls, they had these little girls dancing and shaking, you know, these butts and stuff like that and dropping it like it's hot. And they encourage this bullshit. They encourage this. Okay,
but
well, what is the child supposed to be? Because the child don't know any better.
This is my point, though.
Even if the little girl is dropping it like it's hot, even if she is dancing like that, she's a girl. Over in Thailand and in Asia, they do it all the time. They dance all the time over there. And go to the Caribbean. They dance all the time over there. That's the mama be teaching the little girls at an early age how to satisfy their husband, and the men be teaching the little boys at an early age how to satisfy their woman sexually, and it comes through in the dancing. Now, what the problem is this. You have to have enough common sense psychologically to know that they being prepared for a later time. That don't mean that because this little 10-year-old dropping it like it's hot, you a 30-year-old man, and you go stick your dick in them. Come on now.
But that's what's happening.
That's what's happening, but it's happening like that because the men and the women that's perpetuating it, that's grown as hell, is ignorant as hell.
Exactly. That's
I was raised up there down in yeah, I was raised up down in Florida and in Jacksonville and Miami and down in the reggaeton area, and that's just how they do. You know, my shit, I got a little niece who was dropping it like it was tied at 2 years old. She could do the wine, the TikTok wine, better than the grown people, and she was two. But that don't mean for some grown man to go stick his dick in her just because she could dance real good.
Exactly. But she,
it ain't the child's fault.
No,
these men.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, these men and women be wanting that shit already be in. Yeah, but see, if you sleep with a child, you'll sleep with an animal.
Anybody that will sleep with a child needs to have his fucking head cut off. That's my point.
Yep.
I don't care what
the main ones that be around here molesting these kids, if they got a dog, they molest the dog too. Anything got a hole.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you can sleep with it, whatever, but when you touch a child, that's where you cross the line with me. If a grown man wants to sleep with a dog, have fun. Knock yourself out. Touch a child, I got a problem with you.
Brother, you said it a few minutes back. They do we're talking about Dahmer, and he gives the signal. Our culture, the people that run the culture, you just said it yourself, 60% of the police force is Masons.
Yeah.
So our culture, the people that run, the people behind the scenes, all in the order. So the people that write the laws are in the order.
Mm-hmm.
So if you got the people that's in the order, they write the laws, the people that enforce the laws that's in the order, and if they see one of their homeboys doing molesting a child, and he gives a signal, he gets to get away with it. All this stuff, even in the church, the Catholic Church, all this stuff is in the order. So culturally, this is what's going down. It is just infiltrated our community. So it's not like we can even go to, you know, like if you go to legislation or try to get a stricter law passed, you go to the same people that do it. This is a cultural thing.
We need to handle this amongst ourselves.
Yeah, exactly. We need to deal
with them. Right, exactly. Do the same thing to them.
Well, how does the Italians do it in their neighborhood? They don't go to the police, they go to the Godfather.
That's
right. And you get things handled that way in house.
Yeah,
and just shit happens like that, because you can't go to them because they all in it.
That's right.
You see what I'm saying? And it goes back to what I've been saying from day one. And we got all these different isms and stuff, and we got all these problems. Before all this stuff, is we come from the cosmos. And our answer, one thing we have to admit, it is a spiritual one, because the physical thing is a wrap. You know what I'm saying? Anytime the topic that we're talking about right now, child molestation, melatonin in soft drinks at the convenience store. You see what I'm saying? Our answer is a spiritual one. And that's kind of what we need to put the reference point on, to put the focus on. Because if this physical is wrapping, and like I said, for the mere fact we even got to talk about this, let you know the answer has to be beyond this physical thing.
It's got to be, because the physical is shot the fuck out.
Exactly. And they tell you even in church, when you die, you go to a better place. See, when we can get on top of death, that eliminates the fear. See, death, and I want the people to think about this, death isn't something to be feared. When you truly are tapped in spiritually, it's something that it's actually the prize. In a lot of African traditions, when a person dies, they celebrate. When they're born, they mourn. Like, oh, man, this person is dead. Death is the prize. Remember, the physical is an illusion, remember? One thing you're guaranteed in the physical is that you will die. And in the spiritual realm, you live forever. It's eternity. It seems like you should want to get to something that's dealing with eternity. So one way to get a certain revolution in the mind is to get on top of the fear. And to get on top of that fear is to get on top of the death. Because when you're not afraid to die, and particularly you're not afraid to die what you believe in and what you feel is right, you can't be ruled anymore.
Exactly.
You see what I'm saying? They can't run no fear game on you no more. To me personally, if they came and took me out for speaking my mind and standing for principle, to me that's an honorable death. I would die with honor for that. You put soldier on my tombstone and keep it moving. Don't cry for me. You be happy for me, because I'm on the next level. I'm on the next dimension now. That should be honor. It should be honor in that. That's how you go from a slave mentality to a soldier, to a warrior, or warrioress. You could, if they come and take you out, that's just a casualty of war. I remember I was selling insurance to this old white lady when the 9/11 thing first went down. I was over, and it was a couple, and they were talking about the Muslims, and one of the Muslims on the they had read what he was saying. Something he was saying, something to say, they were doing this Allah prayer, and they going on and on and on. But the meat of it was, we're not afraid to die. We die with honor. We look forward to die for what we believe in. And it's something to be learned from that, not the stuff they supposedly, we know how that go, but it's just the principle of not being afraid to die. Muhammad Ali wasn't afraid to die. He was ready to face machine gun thing, give up millions of dollars for a principle.
Yeah,
ain't no Viet Cong never called me nigger.
Exactly.
And he earned a permanent ghetto pass for eternity across dimensions for that shit. Ain't no Viet Cong called me nigga. He stood up. And we have something that we don't do. We don't have no backbone. We don't stand up. We scared. They announced on the news that there's melatonin in the soft drinks. They did this yesterday, last night.
Doctors don't even know that it comes from black people.
2 weeks ago, they announced melatonin in baby formula at a daycare for 40 babies. On CNN, it was 6:01 p.m. That was a lead story.
Lead story.
On CNN. But we don't want to stand up. All the brothers, I ain't going to go there, but we need, if we go talk about something on a physical level, we need to do what they did in Iran. Other than that, we need to try to tap into what we got control over. Because otherwise, we're just talking. We did the call last night, and we were dealing with the constellations. those same seals in the book of Revelation, the same seals that the ancient Egyptians dealt with, the 72 seals, is actually in the constellations at the foundation of this Milky Way galaxy. The same way that the seals have the legions, the constellations, they are set stars within stars of the constellations, which represent those legions. As above, so below. And those that ain't familiar with, we don't really have that.
There's only, what, 10 more minutes, 5 more minutes on the show. But the same seals in the book of Revelation is the same seals inside of us. Each seal has an average of 30 to 40 legions, and each legion represents 10,000. So we got that kind of power inside of us. And that's what they're afraid of. That's why they do those rituals, to hold our energy back. Because we rolling with that kind of juice inside of us, and that's something that we do have power of, that we can manifest and trigger it out. That's something that we do have power to do to offset this kind of shit and them coming on the news talking about his melatonin inside of a soft drink.
Also, a lot of women and men too, but like brothers, when y'all be hanging with other brothers and they just have to have a short girlfriend, their girlfriend can't be above 5 feet or above 4'10 or 4'11. They just got to have them a short girlfriend. And if there's a woman on the line, y'all, you know what I'm talking about, sis.
Uh-huh, that's why I just started
laughing. And they got to date these little short, petite women and shit. You better watch the homeboy around your kid.
That's interesting.
I mean, because
better watch the homeboy around your kids. I knew this girl one time. She thought she was the shit because she was dating this balling-ass dude. And she was real short. She like 4'8". She real short, like probably come up to my chest. And I'm short. I'm only 5'3". And she was real short, and she just thought she was just balling. And he bought all kind of nice cars and gave all kind of money and stuff. And she just was balling and just knew she was the shit. He was straight up child molester. Straight up pedophile. So you'd rather give your pussy to a pedophile. And what's sad is she knew he was molesting one of his daughters. He just started dating her so he could stop fucking his daughter. So, a 10-year-old girl. So, all your homeboys, you know, that like these little short women, why she got to be short and fine? Ooh, she got to be short and fine. You was a straight-up child molester. You know, you have to really look at things on a bigger level. Majority of men that molest children anyway molest them because they feel like, you know, their sex game is whack anyway. So they got to be, you know, victimizing a damn child. So instead of them going and getting some porn and working on their moves by themselves or whatever, they going and messing with a child thinking they tearing something up.
90 seconds.
It's just pitiful. Pitiful. You know, so, you know, if you a short sister and you dating a man and he just so in love with you just because you short, you really need to think about that. You know what I'm talking about, don't you, sis?
I sure do.
Okay.
You right on point. The other thing that I want to let people know, we have 3 minutes remaining.
60 seconds.
Well, 1 minute remaining in the live stream. So if you want to hear the end of the show, please give us a call, 347-215-7628. Thank you to everyone who came in to listen tonight on the Black Womaniverse, because we are simulcasting from the Order of Ma'at onto the Black Womaniverse, which is one of our sister networks and our Blog Talk Radio shows that I host, trying to get the sisters together, because it is of vital importance that we get the sisters together. So you can reach out to us through the Blog Talk Radio show, make the Order of Market a favorite, and also Mark of the Black Womaniverse a favorite because we work together in sync, and we're trying to get our people together, and, of course, we're trying to get the sisters together because the sisters are the
10 seconds.
The sisters are the first teachers, and it is of vital importance that we understand our role in our community because it all starts with us, and in order for us to get our stuff together, get our shit together, we're going to have to get ourselves together. So just want to make that, get that.